We're reading from the writings of Baal HaSulam, Kabbalah for the Student, in a reflection from Test Part 1, page 730. We are in item 15, Tetvav. Chapter 3, in a reflection, item 15, explanation of the origin of the soul. You can ask questions at Kabbalah TV. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. Right, Kabbalah for the Student, page 730, in a reflection from the study of the Ten Sefirot, chapter 3, item 15, explanation of the origin of the soul. Now we shall explain the matter of the origin of the soul. It has been said that this is a part of God from above. We asked, how and in what does the form of the soul differ from his simple light, which separates it from the whole? Now we can understand that there really is a great disparity of form in it. Although he contains all the conceivable and imaginable forms, still, after the above words, you find one form that is not contained in him, namely the form of the will to receive. For whom would he receive from? However, the souls whose creation came about because he wanted to delight them, which is the thought of creation, were necessarily imprinted with this law of wanting and yearning to receive his abundance. That is where they differ from him, since their form has changed from his. It has already been explained that the corporeal essence is separated and divided by the force of motion and remoteness of location, and spiritual essence is separated and divided by disparity of form. The measure of disparity of form determines the distance between one another. If the disparity of form becomes complete oppositeness, from one extreme to the other, they become completely severed and separated until they can no longer nourish from one another, for they are considered alien to one another.
Meaning, the will to receive itself is not foreign. Rather, everything is examined, is differentiated, felt, is emphasized according to the intention in the will to receive. If the will to receive is completely without any feeling that it exists, then it doesn't exist. The moment the sensation in it, the feeling starts to grow, its self-awareness, then it's differentiated. Accordingly, we say that it's distanced in the spiritual dimension or space. And on the contrary, as this discernment that is revealed in it, and that it's distant, and now it has actually the work to do upon the feeling that it has, that it's opposite the Creator, then it does efforts to be similar to Him. This is called that it does corrections on itself. And then it can move closer, further, and then it has movements of its own. Within these movements of it, it can examine the Creator. When is the Creator closer or more distant? From that, he can understand how to do actions in order to be close, and what influences, and in the end, how to come and be similar to the Creator, which is emphasized and expressed in the sensation of dvikut, of adhesion, an equal degree to the Creator. meaning everything goes not upon the desire which is changing, rather the intention, meaning the discernment that's inside the desire, how the creature feels himself towards the Creator, in his qualities, in his intentions, but not according to his nature. Because according to his nature, and the will to receive and the will to bestow don't have from the beginning. They don't. This is existent from existent. That's existent from absence. And there's nothing. And what differentiates between them is the way the will to receive is used. Hence, we say the will to receive, that in the four phases of direct light, is still a will to receive that is completely under the influence of the light, in the control, under the control of the light, including Malchut Ein Sof, until it decides that it's going to do the first restriction, Tzimtzum Aleph, and for this it's written, Chamur b'chamurot, with the worst, the most severe of severities. And until here, it's all the control of the Creator, and there's no creature, meaning the desire to receive, which feels itself in all kinds of fashions from the light that comes from the Creator himself, and feels that he's the receiver, and feels that he doesn't want to receive, until the restriction is done. All of that is not differentiated from the light at all. Only after this definition, this determination comes, I and him, not in one place, from here on, already, there's a difference between them and the matter of distance. So from this is what he's explaining to us here in the explanation of the origin of the soul, where the soul comes from. Meaning from the self-awareness that I am opposite, the desire to receive says, I am opposite the Creator. From that already comes the slice, the sever.
So what you're saying is more or less clear, but here he makes things complicated. He says that the disparity of place and motion causes the oppositeness. We don't understand that.
Not we. You're always in the union meeting there that you're talking about in the name of everyone. Like you are the representatives of the nation.
Okay,
don't say
me.
We. Say I.
Myself.
As Yamnon is happy that I'm tricking you that way. He probably has a problem with you. Distance. Corporeal distance is measured in inches or meters or spiritual distance is measured in disparity of form.
But he repeats it. Corporeal essence is divided and separated by motion and place. He says corporeal.
Corporeal. Do you understand what you're reading?
He is saying that, not me. He says the spiritual essence is divided by disparity of form. What does he mean by that?
I and you are a few kilometers distance from each other. You live there and I live here. Right? How are we in spirituality? In what distance?
Perhaps Ein Sof.
It could be Ein Sof, you're right, infinity. Or it could be that we're very close or even adhered, cleaved to each other. According to what? According to the discernments that are in us, right? I think this way and you think this way. I love this and you love this. I hate this and you hate this. So according to our opinions, our flavors, our tastes, we're close.
Meaning, according to what we're reading here, we don't have to be one next to another. I can be here, someone can be in a Haifa, and there's an equivalence of form between us, and there's no problem.
There's no problem at all?
But this is not what we learn here. You said we need the convention, we need to come, we need to unite, we need to do this and that.
Because we're still corporeal, we're not spiritual. Of course, if we were in the spiritual plane, in one heart, I won't feel a distance between us at all. There are a few people in the world that I feel very close to them. Truly, nothing influences, how should we say this? The distancing of our bodies has no influence whatsoever. People that are not even in our world, I feel them close. Up to the degree that I speak to them. Yes? It's not that I'm, don't think that I'm, mentally ill. I'm telling you seriously. It's such a connection.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. In Petah Tikva, Niv is in Haifa. I love him. He hates me. How can we advance in spirituality if there is no hatred between us? How can we advance?
No. That's why we're coming to a physical group. That's why we're going to have a convention in America, later in Siberia and in Scandinavia and other places. And we need to do them. Because for the time being, we need to have that physical feeling of being in one place. But later, when you come to that spiritual sensation, that when you come to the place where the desires and intentions are together, then you don't need. What will the face of someone do for you to see him? Or to hear? You don't need to hear. You, from yourself, hear him. You understand? What I'm thinking, it's certain that he thinks that way too. I don't need to even talk to him. I'm telling you, you will see, and I'm telling you this from my experience, you will learn. Me and Rabash read something, and we didn't need to speak at all after that. It was clear between us what's going on, maybe a word or two, just like that. And it was clear. Because there's an inner connection, an inner contact. Yes?
But we have to rub each other.
What do we need?
To rub each other, to have a friction between us and reveal this spiritual hatred between us, like the students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
Then certainly for that we need to be physically together.
But how do we do that?
But not that we need later to have that. Before that, yes. Therefore, you're saying correctly. You're saying, now, at last, I understand what for we need this world. Until we reached a spiritual connection between us, we need to feel that we are in the world of matter. When we reach the inner connection, the spiritual connection, then we already don't need this world of matter, this physical world, and it's truly like that, and that's why it's called the imaginary world. Because the moment you reach the inner connection, this world for you starts to kind of evaporate. It disappears, it dissipates. The importance, it's not, you don't give it any importance, it's not taken into account, you don't associate any importance with it. It truly disappears in its importance, just like you see things now that are not important to you, until it truly disappears, because really it doesn't exist. If you completely rise to spirituality, it does not exist. By physical, bodily death, the will to receive disappears.
But meanwhile, I gave the example of Niv being on the internet and me on the other side of the world. We can't meet together. So what can I do to make him hate me, send him SMS or what?
No, you have to be together. It won't help.
How can I make him not stand me? How can we advance?
First of all, what an approach.
What do you mean, what an approach? How can we advance? What, we should so
wait,
both
wait.
Drip of honey and love each other?
God forbid to cause hatred for someone that he should think like that about me or I about him. Hatred needs to be revealed as a result of us loving each other. Otherwise, it's not the right hatred. Otherwise, it's physical hatred. Spiritual hatred can be not that we awaken it. It comes from the reforming light. We are longing for a connection between us, and we want to hug and connect in all that we're given in our degree. And we do this connection more and more internal, as if, as much as we can, upon that, the light that which reforms influences us and shows us that we hate each other, that we're distanced. The light awakens the hatred in us, reveals the hatred in us. Why? It's revealing in us the uncorrected will to receive, which already belongs to the next degree. And not that I myself awaken it. Other than connection, nothing else. Connection, mutual guarantee, mutuality, love, other than that, I don't awaken anything else. Only that. And all the evil is revealed by the light. That's why it's called, I created the evil inclination. It's not that he created one time. Every single day he's doing the action of Genesis, of Bereshit. I'm creating the evil inclination.
And now this evil inclination comes to be between me and him as a result of the light that reforms. I won't stand him through the internet.
Yes. Through the internet, it doesn't say. It says the students of Rabbi Shuman, they come to connect and they feel hatred between each other.
So how do I correct that system when I'm not in front of him? I'm very far away from him. We're very distanced.
You're asking about things that are unrealistic. That's why I am turning to all my students to come necessarily to the convention. To come, absolutely come to the convention. This is an opportunity that you will start to connect each other, you will reveal hatred, and then you will reveal love, and within the love, you will discover the upper world. There is no other chance. You must at least, he lives here, and I live, and he lives there, at least once a year to meet. Without that, there's no chance. The same thing I'm saying to the Russians over there when we're coming. Do you know where I'm going? You don't know what Krasnoyarsk is. It's something that it's after the end of the world there in the corner somewhere. So why am I going there? Because really, many people are dispersed in many places. You know, over there it's 1,000 miles, is not called, it's not so much. And then we must do it to give them an opportunity to connect. That's why I'm also saying there too, and to each in every place, I have no choice. I have to come in order to give people that point of connection. To hear, they can hear me better through the screen here. Connections, we're not missing in any place virtually, but physical, that is a must. Let's read again the explanation of the. Now we shall explain the matter of the origin of the soul. It has been said that it is a part of God above. We asked, how and in what does the form of the soul differ from his simple light, which separates it from the whole? Now we can understand that there really is a great disparity of form in it. Although he contains, the Creator contains all the conceivable and imaginable forms, it's all in him. Of course, the matter has nothing, only the matter which responds, and that's it. Still, after the above words, you find one form that is not contained in him, namely the form of the will to receive, for whom would he receive, God forbid? However, the souls whose creation came about because he wanted to delight them, I don't see. Why don't you read? Oh. Which is the thought of creation, were necessarily imprinted with this law of wanting and yearning to receive his abundance. That is in them. That they do have. That is where they differ from him. Since their form has changed from his, it has already been explained that a corporeal essence is separated and divided by the force of motion and remoteness of location, and a spiritual essence is separated and divided by disparity of form. The measure of disparity of form determines the distance between one another. If the disparity of form becomes complete oppositeness from one extreme to the other, they become completely severed and separated until they can no longer nourish from one another, for they are considered alien to one another. So this is why we're saying that the divinity, the sanctity, does give life to the klipa, to the shell, and there's all the different ways to give life to the klipa. Otherwise, without true connection to the light, then it has no right to exist. Is that clear? Yes, doctor. Professor, I'm sorry.
Now, about the corporal, it says the power of motion of that separates or divides. And about spirituality, there isn't anything parallel to the force of motion or anything similar to it.
Wait, I didn't understand.
It says here in the text that the corporal is separated by the force of motion.
Wait, you're a physician. You have plus and minus. Two charges. In which has the force of motion? Where plus and minus, according to nature, we don't know why, are attracted to each other. Yeah, that's it. How is this different from spirituality? If this is the will to receive and this is the will to bestow, two opposites, which are attracted to each other, the force of motion, of movement. Well,
so which role does the light play here in this force?
One of them is the light and the other is the desire. In spirituality, that's how it is.
And the light is the one that connects them eventually, because we can't do it any other way?
You're asking who operates in each and every one of them?
In general, in this field. Now in spirituality, we want to build a soul. And we see the force that resists it. I don't know if it's a force, but there's a resistance to it. Every time we approach it, we feel a greater resistance.
You're asking a very philosophical question, a very deep philosophical question. If the light and the kli are attracted to each other, who is attracted? Who's attracted? The light to the kli or the kli to the light? Who is the operator? Is there some action on behalf of the kli? Is there inside the matter of desire a force that is drawn or attracted to the light? Or is it the light that operates itself in the matter in such a way that the desire is attracted to him, to it?
You can put it this way, but I'm asking from the direction of the desire.
Because it has to be, because there's only one force that operates, meaning the desire itself is completely passive. And what the light awakens in it, that's how it responds. Meaning even when we say that there's a force in the desire to move towards the light, it's not a force of the desire. It's the force of the light itself. Is that what you're asking? Or?
Yeah, it brings us closer to the solution, but one more step. The light, in fact, is capable of doing everything for the desire, and only the desire has to acknowledge it. This is what we have here?
Right, exactly. The desire needs to recognize that there's none else besides him, and other than that, it's good and benevolent. If it's just there's none else besides him, I'm lost. Right? Imagine to yourself, I'm underneath him, some part of some big horror movie that's above the whole city there, you know, something like that, and that's it. There's nothing else besides him. I don't know. I saw part of it. And that's it. So there's none else besides him. Other than that, you have to reach the recognition that it is good and benevolent. Otherwise, it's not enough. And then, when you come to there's none else besides him, which is good and benevolent, together with other than it's good, there's nothing. This is how you come to the quarry of the soul.
One more thing. Physicists have discovered long ago that what connects things that are not supposed to be together is only the force of the light, meaning everything that we call the field inside an atom or clear, even in a living cell, everything that sits together as opposed to its foundation, it's done only by the light. So we just have to say it with the appropriate words.
I would say it this way. That force that wants to differentiate between things is the light. And that same force that wants to unite between things is the light. Everything comes from the light. That it must work with those two opposites, so that we will feel existent if we don't have those that the sensation of existence. And other than the sensation of existence, there's nothing. Meaning, the creature, the right to exist of a creature. All in all, he only exists in that passage between light and darkness, and that's why creation is arranged in such a manner. But later, when we neutralize this boundary between the light and the darkness, and it becomes for us above that sensation of light being a abyss and darkness being en sof, if we can connect them together, that it's not important to us, then we reach the source of the doer, the maker of light and creator of darkness. That's the place we want to go to. Well, we need to already finish. There's no choice. And move to the next part.
Yes. And before we move on to the next part, let's sing a song together.
Oh, מתקנים בים של אור, מתקנים את ה...